chapter 15, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 9. That again is Proverbs 15, we'll be reading verses 1 through 9, and I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version. Proverbs 15, beginning in verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness.
Good morning to everyone. It's great to be here. You know, I look outside. I have some neighbors that just moved in from Texas. And yesterday was a beautiful day, and I said to them, I hate to break the news to you, but it's not always like this. As Bill Huey used to say, Lompoc is just showing off this morning. And it's a beautiful day out there, but even more beautiful in here as we gather together to worship God. It's good to see Janice and her sisters here again with us. Last time they were here was about a month ago. We were in the fellowship hall. They came in, and because of the crowd we had that morning, they were forced to sit right at the very front. And the lesson for all of us is, they're back, which means it doesn't hurt anyone to sit right up front, does it? Good to have them here. They worship, the ladies worship with Ryan and Michelle. One of them does at Cordova Church of Christ. Two others worship at Grass Valley with David's sister Shan and some of the other folks up there that we've become acquainted with. So we're all family. And it's great that we're able to go somewhere in an area that perhaps we're not familiar with, as David and Kim are doing as they venture across this country of ours. But knowing you've always got family, no matter where you go, wherever the Lord's body meets, you've got family. And that's very comforting to know as we walk together through this life on earth. We see, we're looking this morning again in the book of Proverbs. This is lesson number 2 of 3. And as you recall, Proverbs was written through inspiration by Solomon for the most part. There are a couple of Proverbs that he did not write, but he edited. So he was kind of a writer slash editor of the book of Proverbs through inspiration. And Solomon, of course, was David's second son with Bathsheba. And he wrote Solomon for his son Rehoboam, who was going to take his place after he passed away. And Solomon was crowned king at the age of 20. And in a dream, God came to him in a vision and asked him what was the one thing that you want. And Solomon, rather than saying wealth and defeat of my enemies and many wives and all of this kind of thing, he said, I'd like wisdom to be able to govern the people wisely. And so Solomon gave him wisdom beyond belief and told him, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you all these other things as well. And so Solomon, of course, was the greatest king of his time here on earth. And so we're looking at Proverbs and seeing God's message to us through this beautiful book. And this morning I want us to take a look at our speech. You know, when God created everything, he did it with words. He did it with his speech. Let there be light. Use the words, let there be light. And then when he saw what he had created, he said that it was good. And then he said, let us make man after our own image. And so he made us after his image. And one of the things that he gave us was the ability to speak. to use words, to talk. God used his words powerfully to create. And we, in a different sense, use our words with the power to create. We can create relationships with them. We can create ideas with them. We can create a lot of different things powerfully with our words. But we can also create havoc with our words. We can create destruction with our words. And I think that's probably the reason why in this wonderful book of Proverbs, the topic of speech is mentioned more than any other topic in the book of Proverbs. That's how concerned our Creator is with the words that His creation uses. And that's how concerned we need to be about the words that we use as God's creation. Our words are more than just puffs of air coming out of our vocal cords. They are in fact things that can determine the direction of our life. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 tells us, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Our words can not only set the direction of our life here, but our words can direct our life eternally as well. You think that words have the power of life and death? Think about that. You think that your words, my words, have the power of life and death? You know, the internet is a great thing if used properly. But like everything else, so many times we as human beings find a different way to use it. And one of the epidemics that we see in our society today is cyberbullying, where people under the guise of false names and false identities will post things, words, harmful words, disastrous words. There was a young man by the name of David Mulock. He was a sophomore at the Alamo Heights High School in Texas. He was a fitness enthusiast. He was a San Antonio Spurs fan. He was an Eagle Scout. He wasn't the most handsome kid in his class, but he had the most beautiful girlfriend. And for that reason, he was bullied. Things were posted on the internet. Little emojis were posted with his face on a pig, his face on a cow. They were horrible things that were being said about him, not because of anything he did, because kids were jealous of the relationship he had with this beautiful girl. It got so bad that finally in January of 2016, he hung himself in his family's backyard. His 24-year-old brother, Cliff, posted this following the suicide. He said, "In today's age, bullies don't push you into lockers. They don't tell their victims to meet them behind the school's dumpster after class. They cower behind usernames and fake profiles from miles away, constantly berating and abusing good, innocent people. And it's all done with words." Our words have the power of life and death. But not just in school. At home as well. The police in Hot Springs, Arkansas, arrested a couple for child abuse. When the police interviewed the 4-year-old daughter after they had taken her to a safe place, they asked her her name. And in all sincerity, in complete honesty, she said her name was Idiot, because that's what she had been called day after day, week after week, year after year. Idiot. Our tongue Our words have the power of life and death. One of the closest books that we have in the New Testament, similar to Proverbs, that deals with this is the book of James. Turn with me over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And I want us to look at verses 3 through 5. James chapter 3. Verses 3 through 5. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal around. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. James here is talking about the size to the effect. The size of a small thing and how it affects such a large thing. You can take the 4 or 5 inch piece of metal, stick it in the bit in the horse's mouth, and you can control the stallion and he'll go wherever you want him to go. Or if you take a piece of metal about the size of your front door and you put it on a multi-ton ship, and with that rudder the size of your front door, you can control that ship wherever you want it to go. Or you take the tongue, which weighs 3 to 4 ounces, and put it into a body that weighs whatever you weigh, and it can control you. It is the size to effect ratio. And we are amazed at what a bit can do in the mouth of a horse. But think about what the tongue can do in the schoolyard, in the workplace. Think about what the tongue can do in the church. And think about what the tongue can do in a home. The size to effect ratio. And what about great forest fires started by a spark? We know all about forest fires, don't we? We have lived through another horrendous year of fires, massive destruction to God's creation, people's homes, and people's lives. But how many of those fires have been started by accident? Maybe someone had a campfire that they didn't completely douse out like Smokey the Bear always tells us to do. Or maybe a fire was started because someone was careless with a cigarette butt as they threw it out the window of the car as they were passing by. And they drive away and they have no idea. They have no idea the destruction that they have caused by their carelessness. So it is with our speech. Sometimes, maybe unbeknownst to us, we have become a verbal arsonist. We have said something in passing, and we go on about our business, never knowing completely the kind of damage we've caused with the words that we've said. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18 reminds us that the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words can cut and wound. That's why we have that phrase, cutting remarks. So the question for us is, how do we secure our speech? If God is going to warn us this much about what we say in the book of Proverbs, we need to pay attention to it. But how do we secure our speech? Well, as we look closer into these Proverbs, I think we'll see 4 different filters that Solomon has given us to help us with our speech. And the first thing we need to notice, and the first thing we need to ask ourselves, is what I'm about to say necessary? Is what I'm about to say necessary? If we sin more often with our words with our mouths. Wouldn't it stand to reason then, if we talk less, then we'll sin less? Think about that. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Someone made a modern proverb out of this: a closed mouth gathers no foot. A lot of truth to that, isn't there? A closed mouth gathers no foot. Proverbs 21 and verse 23, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. But you see, the problem is these days it's not just that we're quick to talk. We can be quick to email. We can be quick to text, quick to tweet, quick to post. In all these methods of communication, we can easily and quickly respond out of emotion, perhaps misinterpreting even something that someone has said or posted, and caused all kind of havoc with our words. Do I have to give a verbal expression to everything that goes through my mind? Do I have to say everything I'm thinking? Do you know someone that has no filter when it comes to that? They're going to speak, don't look around at each other. They're going to speak no matter what happens to flash through that brain in an instant of theirs. And that's a dangerous thing to do. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 28, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. How many times in a conversation has someone come up to you and said to you, I really shouldn't say this, but, all right? I shouldn't say this, but. Well, you know what? That doesn't excuse it, does it? I really shouldn't say this, but. So we need to stop and think. Is what I'm about to say to someone in response to something, is it going to build them up or tear them down? If it's going to tear them down, then I needn't say it. We're here with our speech, with our words, to build each other up. Is it necessary? Secondly, is it true? Is it true? And what I'm about to say, is it true? Proverbs 12 and verse 22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. That word detest means to hate or to loathe. And these are words that is used to help us understand the reaction that God has to people who lie. People who lie. Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 16. In fact, turn over to me, Proverbs. Let's go to the book there for just a minute. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up dissension among brothers. Of these seven things that God hates, two of them have to do with lying. Truth and God are inseparable, because God is truth. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? A number of times in the New Testament, Jesus would start out saying something by simply using this phrase, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth, because that's all Jesus ever spoke, was the truth. Jesus is truth. On the other hand, he tells us in John chapter 8 and verse 44, you belong to your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires, talking to the unbelievers. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Lying and deceit seem to be embedded in our culture, and we see it all kinds of different ways, whether it be in society, whether it be in politics, whether it be in schools. There's no story about four students who were supposed to take a final, but they were out goofing off down at the beach and didn't realize it was late. They got in the car, drove on the way to school to the class, and they said, you know, we're really going to be in trouble because we're going to miss the final. We're late. And the driver said, well, don't worry about that. We'll just tell the instructor that we had a flat tire and had to have it fixed, and that's why we're late. So they get to the classroom. Everybody else is gone. The teacher's there. They apologize. They said, you know, we really need to take the final. It's a very important part of our grade. But we had a flat tire and we couldn't make it. Can we retake the test now? And so the teacher looked at them and he said, yeah, you can, under one condition. He handed them each a piece of paper and a pencil, told them to go out to the four corners of the room, not looking at each other but facing the wall. And then he said to them, I want you to write on the piece of paper which tire was flat. See, our lies always find us out, don't they? Maybe not today, but ultimately they do. God detests a lying tongue. Next thing we want to consider is this. Am I talking to the right person? Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Firefighter will tell you that the easiest way to prevent a fire, easiest way to stop a fire, is removing the fuel. That's why you see back burns taking place or bulldozers going into a forest and clearing areas to remove the fuel from a fire. Solomon is saying, if you don't have gossip, you're not going to have a problem. And you know, many times we think about gossip as being simply something that's not true. Someone says something to somebody else that's not true, and that's what gossip, that defines gossip. But you know, that could be part of it. That could be one of the reasons for gossip. But gossip can also be simply saying something that's true. Gossip is sharing sensitive information with someone who's not part of the problem or part of the solution. That's gossip. It's sharing sensitive information to someone else who's neither part of the problem or part of the solution. And again, many times it started by simply saying, I probably shouldn't say this, but. Proverbs 17, verse 4. A wicked person listens to deceitful lips. A liar pays attention to destructive tongue. It's not just bad enough to spread gossip, but it's also to listen to gossip. And remember, the person that's gossiping with you is the same person that will gossip against you as well. So we need to be very careful about securing our speech and make sure that we're talking to the right person. It's not just the speaker that's involved in gossip, it's the listener as well. Should I be listening to this? So am I talking to the right person? And finally, is what I'm saying life-giving? We saw in the beginning that Solomon said that the tongue had the ability of giving life or death. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Proverbs 16 and verse 24, gracious words are a honeycomb sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. In 2011, a movie came out called The Help. You familiar with The Help? It's great. I enjoyed the movie. And it was set in the 1960s in the Mississippi. And I'm not going to get into all the detail of the book, but it simply was this. It talked about the help, about hired help, maids, housekeepers that were working in all-white areas, all-white homes of wealthy, influential people, and how they were treated. And it focused on one of the main characters was a maid by the name of Abilene. And she was a sweet lady working for a horrible woman. And this woman had a little daughter. Her name was Mae Mobley. And Mae Mobley did not look like her mother wanted her to look. She was 4 years old. She was overweight. She wasn't attractive. And so her mother didn't pay much attention to her at all. In fact, any time she had a chance to criticize this little 4-year-old girl, she did. But the maid Abilene loved that little girl like she was her own. And so you would see her in the movie, taking this little girl, putting her on her lap, and saying to her, "You is kind. You is smart. You is important." And over and over and over, she kept reinforcing these words into this little girl. Well, things happened, and this wicked mother fired Abilene and broke this little girl's heart. And in what I believe to be the most touching scene of a very emotional movie, the little girl comes running out crying because she knows Abilene is leaving. And Abilene gets down on her knees and she says to her, "Remember what I told you." And the little girl looked at her with tears in her eyes and she said, "Eyes kind, eyes smart, eyes important." Words that give life. Words that build up. That's what God wants us to say. That's what He wants us to use this wonderful tool that He has given us for. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 43, reminds us of this. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of good things stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Whatever comes out to the outside emanates from the inside. Whatever we have in our heart is going to show on the outside. And that's what we're being warned of here. What comes out of you is who you are. Show me someone with a vulgar mouth, and I'll show you somebody with a dirty heart. Show me someone who gives kind words, encouraging words, truthful words, words that give life, and I will show you someone with a God-loving, transformed heart. It's the heart that God gives each one of us, if we will yet obey. Ezekiel, in chapter 36, was talking to the Israel nation. They've been going through, as typical of them, some very difficult things. They'd wandered, they'd been captive. Ezekiel tells them this from the Lord. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decree and be careful to keep my laws. That's how we secure our speech. Remember that God has given us a transformed heart through Jesus Christ. And we are to use it in such a way to build others up and to glorify God. We have been given the ability to speak for a reason. Let's use it for the reason that God intended. If you're here this morning, we can help you with your life. We want to do that. We want to do that in such a way that will help us think in our life about what am I doing? Is what I'm doing necessary? Is what I'm saying necessary? Is it true? Am I the right person? Am I talking to the right person? Is what I'm saying life-giving? The one thing that we can talk about and say that falls into all of those categories, a big yes, is when we talk about Jesus Christ. Is it necessary? Yes, it is. Is it true? Yes, it is. Are we talking to the right person? Everybody is the right person to hear about Jesus Christ. And is it life-giving? He is the only giver of life. And if we can help you this morning in your life to do these things, if you need prayers for any reason, we ask that you come forward now as together we stand and sing.